God has blessed his church beyond measure. I'm just amazed at it. Why don't you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Glad you're here. Mark, I want you to have that choir really singing Sunday. We're going to, preach going to come. We're going to be pumped Sunday. We're going to pump them. We're going to pump, we got to pump this church up for VBS and pray for the preacher to have that pump in them. And been the last couple of days, I've been having a little trouble breathing. But we'll see what's going on here. I want to talk to you about what God thinks about cheerful givers tonight, because this church really is a cheerful givers. I was just going to do a couple letters, but and then preach to you, but. If I got time, I'll do the letters. If not, I'll do them some other Sunday. I got some from Australia. The one letter I did want to do that's real important. Brother Mickey. They're all important. I had one from Brother Trippin and two from Australia. And I just want you to know, Brother Mickey is one of our tremendous missionaries in Kenya, Africa. He's a tremendous preacher. He's a tremendous educator. He has a Bible college there. He's trained and sent out a lot of men, and that's what it's all about. That's why I get excited when Brother Art Carpio comes or Brother Edgar Langinian, because that's what God, he wants churches to reproduce themselves. That's God's plan, to win, train, and send out. That's God's plan. And when that man told me he had 19 in 11 years, that's unbelievable. And he has a goal of 30, and they'll do it. And let me just give you one. They were threatened. He gave me two papers. I'll just say, I don't need to read. They had people come to his gate. And they had people with armed men come and threaten his family, Mickey's. And they said, if you don't give us your money, we're going to kill you. If you give us the money, we won't kill you. I'm going to tell you, these missionaries, they have a bell that's some kind of alarm system to the police. And he just kept talking to them, trying to, you know, Brother Mickey's unreal. And it took them about 40 minutes, but the police finally got there and ran them off, and they didn't get hurt. But pray for our missionaries. Pray for Brother Mickey. Brother Mickey, he's put his life on the line many times. There's a lot of violence in Africa. And I'm going to tell you right now, Mickey's got guts. So does the down there in Haiti. Bobby Johnson, yeah. I don't. That hillbilly's either nuts or guts. I don't know whatever. He's got something. I'll tell you whatever he's got. God's got it going for him. But and then Australia. There's just some great letters that we got. Thank you for supporting our missionaries. Let's look at the scripture. I just want to give you something from my heart today. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6-8. I want you to see what God says about cheerful givers tonight. Look at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. In other words, the farmer knows what he's talking about here. If you put a lot of seed out, you're going to get a bigger crop. You don't put very much seed out, you're not going to get a big crop. Well, what does God call seed? The Word of God. So the more the Word of God we get out, we're going to see a crop from it. Amen? If we don't put much out, we won't get much. If we put a lot out, we'll get much. Amen? Now look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity. For what? Look at it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I was in tears Sunday. I'm telling you, I wanted to put a one call Sunday night, but I was out with that missionary, and then I got talking to Mark and Betty afterwards. And by the time I got back, it was too late to put the one call out. And I was so proud of this church with the way you gave. We don't have a rich church. We don't have deep pockets here. We just have a plain people that live from week to week and struggles. And what you did Sunday was beyond measure. And look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency and everything may abound to every good work. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, for letting me be the pastor of this great church. I really don't deserve the pastor of this church. It's too good for me. But I sure thank you for him. And thank you for the over 20 years, Father, going close to 21. You've allowed me to pastor this great church. And Father, I thank you for the people with their faithfulness. They came up again big for missions last Sunday, and it just moved my heart. And I thank you, Father, for godly people that care about the things of God. Tonight, help me to share the word of God that would be an encouragement to them. Again, I pray for Brother Danny Sable. Please reach down and heal his shoulder. We pray that nothing's wrong with his lungs. We ask your blessings now in Christ's name. And Lord, bless the VBS coming up. Oh God, I pray that many kids will come and be saved. May your presence be here. May your presence be here Sunday. May your presence be here tonight. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We're already seated, so you're all right. No, I didn't have you stand today. Verse 7, it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And last Sunday, you gave over $4,000 to help a missionary from Cambodia. And I'm lucky to be the pastor. I get to be with the missionaries, and I spend more time with them than you do. And I get to know their families. I get to know their lives. I get to know their ministries more. And Saturday night, I always have a fruit basket for them, and then I always usually take them to Cracker Barrel. And I think we even saw Brother Mike there and Darlene them that night. And I was we put them at that Route 76 there in 43. It's only a little over $40 a night. That's cheap motel and Super 8. That's good buy. They've given me that rate for over 20 years. When you stay with a guy for over 20 years, you know. So anyways, so usually what I do for those that come in from the east or the west part, they're going down 76. When they come up from Marietta, those missionaries that come that direction, I usually put them in Super 8. And because then they can stop there, and then I can meet them. I say, just go up one more exit, and there's a Cracker Barrel, which I love. And Amelia works there now, too, and so does Amanda. So we got some of our kids are working there. And it makes it real convenient for me to just get with the missionaries, furnish a meal for them, get to know them, and talk to them for an hour or so. And he shared with me about the rice fields. He had that little thing, and of course I get excited. I'm excited about missions, I really am. And he said, preacher, I said, well, how many have you raised? And he said, well, I've raised, he said, preacher, we've been in a lot of churches. He's been in for several months now. I don't know how many months, 3-4 months. And I'm not sure how many months, but he said several months. He said, I've only raised only 10 people has raised up in all the churches, 10 acres. I said, well, we'll see what God can do tomorrow at Bethel. I said, we run a couple hundred people, and we have no one that's really what you call, I don't have no millionaires in this church. Wish we did. If we ever hit the dar, we will, Lord willing. And I said, we'll see what God can do. He's always works in my church's hearts. And so I went home that night saying, oh God, help us to raise. I saw the importance of those rice fields, and so did you Sunday. Because I'll tell you, within 2 years, he will have 38 churches. And someday, America, you can see if you watch the news, America's being downgraded all the time. Matter of fact, that one of the things that Australian missionary said to us was, he said, we pray you get stuff situated over in America because it takes a lot of our money to make one. The value of the Australian dollar, it takes at least $1.12 or more to make $1 in Australia. But over in Germany, and by the way, Brother Russell, Brother Pierce is coming back September 1. Brother Pierce will be coming back off the field, him and his family. There, it's like they only get like 70 cents or 80 cents on the dollar in the euro. So you can see how it affects the missionaries a lot. But he said, I'm really hoping that we can get this because he said, one day we don't want to have to depend on America. And I said, Brother Edgar, you can't depend on America. I think America is ready to collapse. I said, unless the people of America starts to turn back towards God. That's the only hope we got, Wade. Unless we reach this country for Christ, America's going under. And I hope you people don't vote for that moron that's in there right now and the rest of them. I mean, even the Republicans. Get the Tea Party in there. Let's get some people that want to do some something. Amen? But anyways, we're in trouble. And I said, there might be a day that we don't have anything to support you or any of the missionaries. I have never in my, Johnny, in all my 40 years preaching, I've never feared for America like I do now. I'm concerned for America. I really am. And I was talking to him, and he said, Preacher, I've only got 8 more years in Cambodia, then I've got to leave. He said, boy, if I could just get this land, and we could, he said that rice you buy, it says from Thailand. He said, when you buy it, it says Thailand, but he said, really what they do, Thailand comes over and gets some rice out of Cambodia, and they just put on from Thailand, but you're really eating Cambodia rice. And he said, if I could just get some acres, we could sell the rice, and we could actually be self-supporting of all these preachers and these churches. Because they support those churches for 2 years. He said he wouldn't start a church unless he could support it for 2 years. And so he's a good steward. Brother Edgar, not only a great preacher, he's a good steward for God. And so I said, well, let's pray about it. And then Sunday, we shared it with you. And you folks, just unbelievably, a lot of us were in tears. We took up the offering, and over $4,000 came in. And you realize this one church bought almost half of what all the months he had prior, you almost matched. Judy, one day with Bethel, you almost matched what he had for all the months prior. He's been in some big churches. He's been in some churches that have got multi-thousands of dollars in the missions account. I won't tell you the fee. He told me one church, I won't tell you, but he told me one church had, well, a lot of money. Multi-thousands in the missions account. You'll never see that in our account. You keep giving it, I'm going to keep putting it out. And I think those people that in those churches have got thousands of dollars. I'm not against having a little money in the bank. I wish we had some in our savings account and checking account. But the missions is for it to send out to get the word of God out. And I don't even want to keep a lot in the regular accounts either. But especially not the missions account, because they had one church that had over $250,000 in the missions account. Do you realize if I had $250,000 in our missions account, what we'd be doing right now? How fast do you think with your preacher, D, we'd have $250,000? It might take me a month to get rid of it. Because we've got 85 missionaries. And I'm going to tell you right now, I feel bad for anyone that would give money in a church for the missions account to get the gospel out and have it in there for a savings account. That's not what God meant for churches. I think we should be good stewards. Don't misunderstand me. We need to be good stewards. But I'll tell you that when people give the money, we're supposed to send it out. That's how you remember? That's how we. But I told him I was talking to Marcus. I was upset. Matter of fact, I'm still upset. I'd like to go. He wouldn't tell me the name of the church because I'd like to go to the church and talk to that pastor and those deacons. And if they get this tape, I'm gonna tell you they're gonna stand before God. It's gonna be a lot worse than standing in front of me. But I would rip them up a little bit. By the way, I got a letter from the fellow over there in Truth Baptist. I did that revival about 5 months ago, in that building fund. I told him I wanted them to buy some land around there. We put $100. I started the building fund with $100. He wrote me a letter thanking. I'm going to go. Robbie Morrison is going to be there. I think it's August 21 or something. I kept the flyer. But he said, "Preacher, I can't thank you enough." He said, "We now have $30,000." He said, "You started my church out with you took $100 out of your money clip, and said, remember I was preaching? I said, I got $100. I don't have one on me now. I gave it up last week. But I said, I got $100. I said, we're starting a building fund here at this Truth Baptist Church because you need that land on both sides of you. And I think they got pretty much enough to buy it now." And he was thanking me. He said, "Boy," he said, "you started with $100. He said, "Now it's 5 months." He said, "Now it's up to $30,000. We're getting ready to buy the land." See, you got to buy land. They don't make it no more. Think about what I'm telling you. Well, let me get going here. You gave over $4,000. And it was sacrificial giving. I know you gave sacrificially. Because I let that missionary know it. I said, "I'm going to tell you right now, you had people on Social Security and widows and so." I said, "Those people gave that money to you. I want you to know one thing. Those people, they live from day to day, week to week." I said, "Those people sacrificially gave so you could have that." He said, "Preacher, I've been in all kinds of churches all over America." He said, "Bethel," of course, I hear this every time. He said, "Bethel Baptist Church is one of the greatest churches I've ever been." He said, "There's something special about your church." And by the way, it wasn't because you gave him the money. He said, "I just feel the love and the power of God there. And I was so proud of you. I want to thank you from the depths of my heart for caring about missions. I can't wait to see him get those." He'll get that land. And they'll build the rice and they'll use that money to build churches. And buddy, they won't store it in the bank. They'll be put in a warehouse in heaven. Amen? Right. Storehouse above. As pastor, I was so proud of our church. The missionary told me how he felt this was one of the most greatest churches he ever went to. I wrote this down. I hope I get through this tonight. Listen to me. It's not how much you give. It's how you give it. Say that with me. It's not how much I give, it's how I give it. And I want to thank this church from the depths of my heart for being a giving heart. I want to just share some scripture with you. Don't leave Corinthians because I'm going to give you three things from that scripture I read to you. But I want you to see how Jesus gets excited about giving. He gets excited about people that cheerfully give. And I'm going to give you two examples. If you can turn to, I'm holding Corinthians because I'm going back to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to give you an example, Coolidge, of a poor lady that gave from her heart. Then I'm going to give you a lady that gave a lot of money. But it didn't matter because Christ recognized both of them. In Luke 21, verse 1, he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow cast in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than all. For all you have their abundance cast in the offerings of God, but she of her penury had cast in all her living. You know why she did that? She had a tearful heart. She gave from her heart. And God says, man, when I see people giving with a cheerful heart, I don't care if it's just 2 pence. He gets excited. Let me see that. And then I took another scripture about the lady that came and over in Matthew 26, and Matthew 25, rather, and anointed Jesus with oil. In Matthew 25, 7, there came unto him a woman. By the way, this is always a lady. Thank God for those ladies that give. Where's all the men at, Coolidge? I'll tell you, thank God for the ladies. You know why, Billy? Because there's more ladies that go to church than men.
That's right.
More ladies are sold out than men are.
Yep.
I hate to say that, but that's the truth. Thank God for the men that are really sold out, because you don't. When you got a guy that's sold out, man, that's exciting. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. I'm on 25 of Matthew, verse 7. I'm sorry. Is that 26? Okay. It's only the first mistake I made in the last 2 minutes. Matthew 26 and verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. This, you know, before he gets crucified. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose? It wasn't his disciples, only one. It was Judas, that dirty rat. And when Jesus, verse 10, when Jesus understood, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she poured this ointment on body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the world, the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. I'm going to tell you right now, that woman, Arlene, she was like you. She gave because she loved God. She wanted to give it. And it was something that was worth a lot of money there. But see, like I told you, it's not how much you give, it's how you give. It wasn't that was, I mean, I'm glad it was expensive, but that wasn't it. She was giving from her heart. What she gave was worth a lot of money. What the widow lady gave was not worth a lot of money, but God recognized both of them because it's how they gave it, from their heart. Not grudgingly, but cheerfully. I want to just give you a few things in the next 10 minutes. How God looks at cheerful givers. By the way, you notice he acknowledged those people when he was here. Go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse 7. Number 1, the Bible teaches us in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It teaches us that God is very pleased with cheerful givers. Look what it says in verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. That lady purposed in her heart to pour that oil on him. Are you with me? That lady, the widow, she purposed in her heart to give her all. I wanted to give him all that I had. Every man a purpose. So let him give, not grudgingly. Boy, I feel sorry for Christians that say, well, I'm going to give because I'm afraid the preacher will get mad at me. Don't give, that ain't me. I don't know what you give anyways. I don't look at it. I don't want to know. I know what I give. Now, I knew that the church gave $4,000 because Rosie gave me the figure. Hello? But I don't, it's not, I'm doing it for the, don't ever give for the preacher. Because if you gave for the preacher, that's your reward. But I think you saw what the preacher saw here Sunday, and you saw a mission field that we could reach souls for Christ by just buying those rice fields. And I think it caught fire, and we said, wow, I think we all saw the same thing, Billy. Man, what a great opportunity to reach souls for Christ by buying these fields. We bought 8 rice fields, amen? That's exciting. Notice what it says there in verse 7. So let them give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I've always been excited about giving. I'm lucky. I got saved. I tithe ever since I got saved, Jack. They told me, hey, you should give. And as a matter of fact, I'm more than, I don't say that to brag, but I do. But I've always, Jack, ever since God saved me, how many are glad they're saved? I've never got over it. I've never got over being saved. And everything I have is comes from God. And instead of going to hell, I'm going to heaven. And you can't, you could never pay God back for going to heaven and not going to hell. But you can sure as let them know you appreciate it. You know what? I think people forget about their salvation sometimes. It's not hard for me to give because I want to, God, I can't, you and I can't do enough for him for all that he did for us. Amen? And I know we're much as forgiven. But, you know, we seem to love people. The Lord, those of us are out in deeper sin, we love, the Bible kind of teaches we have a greater love. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, I think everybody ought to love the Lord. I mean, we don't have hell one, hell two, or hell three. We're all going, people that aren't saved, they're all going to hell. They don't get saved. You know, Debbie, he saved me from hell. Amen? And so when it comes to giving, I love to give. And God bless, look, he says, God, this is not the preacher saying it, it's the word, how many believe the word of God's true? And you did a good job stamping on that last week, didn't you? God's word is true, ain't it, Eddie? And we can take it to the bank, can't we? And he says there, Brother Eddie, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, Sonny, if you go by and you drop your tithe and say, oh, I'm putting it in, but I'm not going to use it. God ain't going to bless that. But boy, if you're like those people that came to Christ when he was born, bring those treasures unto him. Lord, here, I want to give this to you because I love you. That's when you get blessed. You could, one person can give grudgingly, another person and could give more grudgingly, and one person give less, but happily wanting to give. God will bless the one who gave less because they did it cheerfully. Am I making sense to anybody? And it teaches us that God is very pleased. I wrote this down. I believe God smiles from heaven when he sees people get, when cheerfuls give, when people, I believe when he saw this church reach down and pull money out of their bank accounts, and a lot of you did, and I know how you did it, and I worry about, but I know God says, don't worry, he's going to provide, he's a Jehovah Jireh, and, but I tell you, I think God looked down on our church, Carl, Sunday, and said, that church really loves me. I believe we made God smile. I do, Brother Mike. I believe God smiled in heaven at Bethel last Sunday. I really do. Listen, I note this. The Bible teaches that God is very, it teaches he's very pleased with cheerful givers. Look what it says there in verse 7. For God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves that attitude. Hey, you know why? That's the kind of attitude he had. You ever think about that? Jesus, how many believe Jesus had a giving attitude? Yeah, I think he did. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he wasn't grudgingly. Hey, I changed my mind. I'm not going to the cross. I changed my mind. I'm not going to open your blind eyes. I'm changing my mind. Stay lame all the rest of your life. Hello? When you give cheerfully unto Christ and the work of God, it pleases God. That's number one. Number two, in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards us when you are a cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. And God is able, you got verse 8 with me? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things. How many see that? In other words, God's going to say, I'm going to make a way for you to make it. You, because you gave cheerfully and with the right heart, I'm going to make, God, you know, he don't have to, by the way, but he blesses people. Are you still with me? I wrote this down. In other words, God can and will bless those who give with a cheerful heart. This, and by the way, I wrote some things down. This is not just talking about money. A lot of people say, oh, I think money's just one thing. Listen, this is also when you give yourself for the work of God. You teachers that teach the Sunday school class, prepare and give your heart every week after week, year after year, and you give yourself to those kids. That's giving yourself. God blesses that. Those that drive a bus, I see Jimmy here, you that drive a bus and work on the bus routes, I'm going to tell you something. You might not think it's very much, but I'm going to tell you, if you do it with a cheerful heart, I got to do is bring those little snot kids, but I'm going to do it anyways. But if you do because, God, I'm bringing that bus in so I can bring these kids to hear about Jesus. Danny Sable last night, there's a guy that loves the Lord. I know why he was up there fixing those lights. He wanted to get that bus ready so we can get that bus on the road to bring kids in so he can get saved. By the way, good people have problems, don't they? But I'm going to tell you, God's going to bless him because he had the right heart. I mean, listen, teaching Sunday school, working a bus route, working in VBS. I don't care what you do in VBS. I don't care if it's just pass out cookies. I think about Bobby and June. They come here on Saturdays and just pray for us while we go door to door. They're praying. I believe God looks at us and says, man, I like that. I'm going to bless them for that. Hello? See, a lot of times people say, he's just talking about money. Money. No, listen, God can do without your money. He owns it all. He just wants to see if you're smart enough to give it to him. Hello? Those that work in VBS next week, we're going to be tired. It's going to be hot. We're going to have a lot of screaming kids. Some of us are going to eat too many of those cookies. Hey. But if you do it because you want to do it for Christ, God's going to bless you for it. If you do it with a giving heart, a cheerful heart, if you go, well, I'm going to go because I know if I don't go, preach, you'll preach on Sunday. Next Sunday, say, you dirty rats didn't show up. No, I won't do that. I will say this, if you vote Obama for next 4 years, after you'll live with that decision, because I'll remind you every Sunday that jerk shouldn't be in there. That I will make it. I'll be violent. There you will suffer the consequence. You say, you ought not talk politics. I'm fighting for my country now. And that guy, it ain't got nothing to do with color. God knows my heart. And you can say what you, it's beyond that. It's because that man don't know what he's doing. It's over his head. And his philosophy of being a social, like the Europe, I don't want it. A charging. No, we need to quit. If you only got so much to spend in a month, if you got $1,000 in your budget each month, you can only spend $1,000. You can't spend trillions. Hello? And by the way, that goes for those Republicans too. The only thing it turned, you know, I mean, we just got it. Just because the Tea Party is the only hope we got as far as politics, if they stay the course. Now you say, boy, you ought not say that, preacher. Well, I'm going to say it to you a lot. I'll say it a lot to you before we get to the election. Amen. Because they're about the only, in as far as politics, that's the only thing I got hope for, is those people got convictions to cut the budget and quit this craziness. Yeah. We've got to stop craziness. And I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. I'm telling you, we've got to get people in there that say we got to get our country back. Our kids, if the Lord doesn't come back in the rapture, our kids ain't going to have a country to have. No, I got on that. Boy, how did I get on that? I've been thinking about that idiot all day long. But listen, cheerful giving, working the bus, cleaning the church, going soul winning. cutting the grass out there in the, boy, I hope someone can cut that grass pretty soon. I hope David don't have to come back and cut that grass out there in that land. And working on the bus. Listen, God blesses anything you do. I don't care if it's vacuuming the floor, wrapping cookies, any job around here. If you do anything cheerfully to further the work of God and to bring glory to God, God's pleased with it. And then number 3, verse 8, God helps us to abound to every good work. Look at verse 8 again, the latter part of it. In verse 8, that you always have an all-sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Ruthie, I was thinking about this church. Carl, I'm excited. I haven't built a big work here, but I think it's solid. And Dee, I thought about all the missionaries. This church, at one time we supported a little over 100 some missionaries. We're down to about 85. Can you imagine? How could this church this size? By the way, the church that had had over $250,000 in the bank, they only had 10 missionaries. Billy, we stand before the Lord. They're going to say, there's a church down there just had a handful, a bunch of people. But they knew it was important to reach the whole world with the gospel. And for 55, 56, whatever, how many years are we old, 60 years old, whatever. I know the last 21 years you've been doing it here. And you did some before I got here. But I know for 21 years, this church has supported multi-missionaries. And we've given out thousands. We don't have a dime hardly in the bank. We don't. I'm not happy, but we don't. But I'll tell you what we do have. I've got a lot of rewards in heaven coming. See, Sean, when we look before God, we're going to say, that was impossible to reach all, help all those missionaries. But Tito Mel, God made it possible for us. You see what it says there in verse 8? He helps us to abound to every good work. It's not us doing it, it's the Lord doing it through us. Because we're willing to let him work through us. Amen? I noted this. I don't know how we support 85 to 100 missionaries, but somehow God makes us every month. We get the job done. I don't know how these missionaries come here and I give them, we don't have that kind of money. Yet, and I tell Rosie, where in the world is that money coming from? It's coming from God. It came from my people that love God. That's why that money was there. Even the other missionary that was here put in towards it. The missionary gave to the missions because he's a good missionary. Because when you got a heart, you care not just about your own mission, but you care about other missionaries. And then I'll close with this. Number 4, and I'm all done. Number 4. There is an eternal payday in the future for people that are cheerful givers. I want you to look at just 2 more scriptures with me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's what we're promoting Jesus. We ain't promoting Baptist church. We're promoting Jesus. We're not promoting baptism. We're promoting Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be shall try it, every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he had built therein, he shall receive a reward I really believe that, Brother Coolidge. We stand before God and he's going to say, yeah, that day I saw this church buy eight. I saw these people buy 8 acres of land to help the ministry. I believe God's going to give a reward to you people. I believe that with all my heart. Because that's tested by fire. You're going to get a reward for cheerfully giving. Amen? Because you gave it for him. How many understand what I'm saying? Not because you had to give. Are you with me? One last scripture. Look what the Apostle Paul said. It's over in Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 19. I'm messing up. I missed the scripture. What I want is the scripture says, what is my hope, my joy, my crown of rejoicing? Chapter 2, verse 19. Thank you. Yep. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope? Let me see that. Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Ruthie, I got excited Sunday. I remember over 15 years ago, I sat in my front room there, my dining room, and Emmanuel Quezon came to my house. Dr. Emmanuel Quezon came to my house, and he set down a plan in front of me, and he said, I have a plan to build 1,000 churches. And I said, yeah, I like that. I'm gonna get with you and do that. I don't know if you caught what that preacher said, but he said there's 4,000 churches in the Philippines. Did you catch that when he said that? I caught him out there and I said, are those all from Dr. Quezon's? He said, yes. See, we had a vision about 15 years ago just to raise 1,000 churches up. And I said, Emmanuel, I'm going to do all I can. And those Filipino nationals are phenomenal. I saw, God told me. I told you this. You get the old tapes back. You get my word. I'm not making these words up. You get my old tapes. You hear? You remember this old man told you this. I told you something. I said, God's going to raise an army of Filipino nationals to reach the Asian people. I told you that. And I fell in love with the Filipino people. We have Filipinos here. But you know, we didn't have no Filipino people at that time. Now God's blessed us with around 20 Filipinos in our church. I'm one of the greatest people that walks on the earth. I love the Filipinos. And I know Mel and Lonnie's here. But if you weren't here, I'd still say it. I love the Filipinos. They're the greatest people. They're the most kindest, most special people you ever meet. And the national preachers that he's producing over there, Sean, are real preachers with convictions. I mean, really powerful preachers with convictions. And I said, Emmanuel, my church will do all we can to help you reach and build. And boy, one night you voted for 16 missionaries there. That's unheard of. No preacher would ask a church to do that. But you did. You voted for 16 missionaries one night in this church. You guys are crazier than I am. We took, in one night, Johnny, we took on 16 missionaries. We did, Mark. Don't tell me I ain't got a great church. That's unheard of. That might have been a Guinness Book of Records. For one night taking on so many missionaries. And we just kept taking, and boy, all those missionaries kept coming through. And I just kept crying, we can't stop. We got to keep helping. Jesus is coming back. You said, yeah, preacher, yeah, preacher, yeah, preacher. Let's do it, let's do it. And we just kept giving. We just kept putting our money in the sticking out. We just kept putting it in there, kept taking it. Bless God, I don't need that pizza. I don't need that extra. I got over 100 radios. I don't need no more radios. You know, we just, and you church stood with me. And that goal and that dream with Dr. Keys on, not only did we hit 1,000, Sean, now we have 4,000 national preachers. And not only they're just, not just in the Philippines, but they're in Cambodia, and they're in Thailand, and they're in Vietnam. One day we're going to stand before God. And all those brown-skinned people that get saved over there in Asia, Mel, because we supported those nationals. All those people, they led to Christ. Guess who gets part of that? You two girls that bought an acre. And when the camp, when all those brown-skinned Cambodians come up and say, thank you, Bethel Baptist, for buying that rice field. I was one that got saved. I was one that got saved. That you had a for, you had a few, you looked forward in time, that knowing that someone would have to preach, and because you supported and they made the rice and they got the money, I got to hear the gospel. And the gypsies. One night the gypsy sang to us, thank you. There'll probably be a whole choir up there, Judy, saying thank you for giving to the Lord. We're going to be excited. I'm not worried about this life. We're just passing through. I've been blessed. God gives, you know, look, I missed a meal. Matter of fact, I missed a meal today. I said, bros, I've got to stop eating. I'm bigger than the Poppin' Pillsbury boy. You just keep giving. Because there's a payday for the cheerful givers. One day we're going to stand up there and all those kids that got saved in Vacation Bible School and all these people that we led to Christ through this church and all the missionaries, all Grandma Sue, all the, from Australia to Germany, the you name where we got them all over the globe. Africa, bearing precious seed. He thanked me over and over for those Bibles that we sent him. I'm going to tell you right now, Mel. Brother Harry, when we get to heaven, we're going to be so excited. And we're going to be glad that we were cheerful givers. Not just with our money, but with our lives, because then the rewards, Johnny, are for eternity. They're not temporal, they're eternal. I close with the statement, Jimmy, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Thank you, church. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving the Savior. And thank you for loving missions. I'm just telling you from the Word of God, one day you'll be glad. You'll have the crown of rejoicing when you see those souls that were saved. And we'll be saying, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer.